Hello, welcome to Spotlight, brightening your life with artistic talent.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it's all in the timing for poetry and drama, with two deadlines fast approaching. We hear from MADFA President Sharon Walker about next year's One Act Play Festival at the Erin Arts Centre, entries for which need to be in by the 1st of December. The same date holds true for poets who would like to submit work for consideration in next year's Poetry Trail. We hear from the chair of the Isle of Man Poetry Society, Bethany DeLee Runciman, and membership secretary, Roger Bloor. And staying with poetry theme, a former bard prepares to release another collection of her work. Remember, do get in touch with any creative, artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. It's this programme, of course. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital, calligraphy, all the others, drop me a line, Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com or spotlight at manxradio.com. They come to the same place. Love to hear from you, get you on the programme. Right, onwards, ever onwards, we'll start with poetry, end with poetry, drama in the middle. The Isle of Man Poetry Trail, always a joy to behold, a wonderful idea. Selection of work chosen from poetic entries island-wide, winners printed onto posters and displayed in shop windows for all to enjoy. Simple and effective. To find out more and hear more about what's going on with the Isle of Man Poetry Society, I had a chat with the chair, Bethany DeLee Runciman, and membership secretary, Roger Bloor. And Bethany began by telling me more about some pop-in sessions coming up shortly.
We have a poetry pop-in this coming Sunday in November, but we've also got our Christmas one, which is the first Sunday in December, 7:30 to 9:30, Archibald Knox Pub. And just come along, and if you've got any Christmas poems, that's what we start off with in our Christmas December poem pop-in. Or if you just want to come and listen to some poems, or just want to come find out what things are going on in the Poetry Society on the island.
And a great chance, Roger, for someone maybe who's never, perhaps, because it can be a bit daunting if you've not performed a poem before, to get up there. But if you get up there with fellow poets, they're always supportive, and it's a great chance to try something out.
Yeah, it's a very friendly meeting, very informal, and there's cake.
Oh,
what more could you ask for?
It's cake. It's the cake. The cake does it, doesn't it? Exactly. Get in there and do anything. Because it seems to me that there has been an increase in interest in poetry on the island over the last few years.
Yeah, there has definitely been an increase in, especially in younger people now. At the open mic nights, we're certainly getting younger poets coming through, which is really good. We have an open mic night on the 21st of November, Friday, which starts at 8:00 in the Columba Club in Douglas. So if you're not sure where it is, come to Circular Road and the traffic lights there, and it's behind the grassy bit behind. It's called the Catholic Columba Club. I think if you've got some really enthusiastic people, it's easier to get up and perform. People who are like-minded, and we always say to people, give it a go, because you don't know what it's going to be like until you've done it. And we always have a lot of support and encouragement for anybody coming along. We just say that you really have to be 18 or over, because these establishments have alcohol as well.
And people do come into poetry for different reasons. I mean, is it something? What brought you into the world of poetry, Roger? What started you first writing?
I started writing a long time ago when I was 11, and wrote a poem which got published. And once you've had a poem published, then you're in business, really. You can't stop. It becomes addictive. And then I didn't write for quite a while, but then got back into it about 7 or 8 years ago when I did an MA in creative writing, in poetry writing. And again, I absolutely love it. It's a good way of expressing yourself. I'm a retired doctor, and we ran a course at University of Keele for the medical students on poetry writing, film, lots of things to try and get them interested in other activities. And the poetry has produced some of the best results, I think, from the medical students. And we publish an anthology of poetry every year, which is given to all the first-year medical students at Keele to get them interested in poetry. It's a brilliant thing to do. It's a good way of expressing yourself and communicating things which are difficult to do otherwise.
And you do actually hear, again, with writing and music and poetry itself, how in itself it can be sort of quite cathartic and quite sort of good for one's mental health as well, being able to express yourself and maybe put down in words or put down in music in other cases, something that you might otherwise be bottling up.
When I started writing poetry, it was in my early 20s and I was going through a mental health crisis, and I couldn't tell you how I felt, but if you gave me pen and paper, I could write down how I felt. And a lot of my poems from then, but looking back at them, are very painful to read. But at the time, it was really the best thing to try and get everything out onto a piece of paper.
And I know that holds true for so many people. Getting into 2026, which will be here before we know it, it has to be said. So we're thinking of the next poetry trail.
Yes, it's going to be just like the other poetry trails. We started the poetry trail in 2013 and I took over running them in 2015. So it's been going a while. The idea is that it promotes poetry on the Isle of Man by displaying the posters of poems that entertain and inspire in the windows of shops, cafes and libraries throughout Douglas City Centre for the public to enjoy. And we have a trail guide that goes alongside, which can be found in Douglas City Library, which will tell you where all the poems are, who wrote the poems. So there's 10 winning poems, and it's basically a poetry competition. So people can submit up to 3 poems. They must be a maximum of 25 lines per poem, excluding the title, because they must fit onto an A4 piece of paper. And then the poems, Tony Garland puts them onto posters. They look very, very nice. They can be of any theme, although they must be suitable for public display, and they must be the poet's own work. Then they are judged anonymously by two judges on the Isle of Man, and the 10 poems are chosen. So each poet who wins receives a copy of their poem as a poster, and they get an A3 size one. And also it's included in our booklet, The Manx Reflections, which comes out twice a year. And then we also have a launch evening Saturday, 6th of February, at St George's Church in Douglas. And we ask the winners to read out their poems. And then we have the bards there, and we have a bit more of a celebration of poetry in the whole evening.
And this is open to anyone. You don't need to be a member of the Isle of Man Poetry Society.
No, you don't need to be a member. You need to be 18 years old or over. But the closing date is the 1st of December. So get your poems, get writing those poems. As I say, they can be about any theme, but obviously suitable for public display.
And then if people are wanting to enter, do you need hard copy sent in or can you do it online?
You can do it online. If you visit our website, in fact, Roger has created a website for us. It's www.isleofmanpoetrysociety.com, and all the information is on there. But you can also email iompsoc at gmail.com, and that's Roger's email address, so that entries can go to him. If you need to send them in by paper, if you go to the website, mm-hmm. It's £4 per poem, and we have our new Lloyds bank account, and we can do bank transfer or we can take cheques for that. Again, get in touch with us and we can tell you about that.
Perfect. And there is the website as well, Roger, as Bethany was saying. Mm-hmm. Presumably, if people are listening and thinking, actually, I like poetry and I'd like to join the society, that's the place to go if they want to do that.
It is indeed. It's got all the details of membership, all the events, and has got a calendar page which tells you all the events throughout the year that are happening for the society.
Always a pleasure to catch up with Bethany and Roger. We'll hear a poem from Roger, by the way, next week as a little last reminder to get your thinking caps on.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, that December the 1st deadline, also important in dramatic circles as well as poetic, as it is the deadline for another wonderful event on the Isle of Man's cultural calendar, the One Act Play Festival. MADFA President and friend of the show, Sharon Walker,
tells us more.
Entries open for our One Act Play Festival for next year. For those of you who follow the festivals fastidiously will know that we've had a combined festival for the last couple of years. But for next year, we've decided just to go with the one-act plays. They will be performed during the 12th to the 14th of March at Erin Arts Centre. But the critical date at the moment is to get your entries in by the 1st of December. So I know I say this every year, we're looking out for budding playwrights, directors, actors, anybody who hasn't done this before, come and have a go. You never know what might happen. We just so happen to have somebody who put their first play in 2025, Jenny Derbyshire, ended up winning the Derek Jacobi Award for playwriting across the whole of the UK and has now got a published script. So yeah. Isle of Man breeds the best of the best.
It does.
Get your entries in. Come and take advantage of this great opportunity.
And as you said, it's a case of, within Jenny's case, we're going in and who knows where it might end. Hope your whole new career, you just don't know. But it is an excellent opportunity for people if they've never perhaps had a go at directing before, even if they're not writing their own piece as well, but directing something which has already been written and performed before, perhaps it's a great chance to cut your teeth.
It is. I mean, we always like to think that the festival is a really safe environment for that. We have an adjudicator who comes across from the Guild of Drama Adjudicators, who gives very constructive feedback on how people have performed, staged, produced the play. And if you happen to win or score very great marks, you also then have the opportunity to perform across in the regional and national finals in the UK. And then there's the opportunity also to go to the British All Winners Festival in July as well, which is billed as the creme de la creme of UK and Ireland, British Isles theatre. And we've been tremendously lucky over the years to have had some really strong representation there. So we know there are fantastic people out there. We know that there are people there that haven't participated in our festival before, so we'd like to see you come along and join us.
And it does sound scary when you say there's an adjudicator, and you know, particularly if you've never done it before, but as you hinted at there very much, and certainly I can say from personal experience that the criticism or comments afterwards will be aimed at being constructive and saying, well, you know, if you did it a little bit this way or you moved that over here, it would improve things, rather than saying, well, you know, that was rubbish. I mean, that doesn't happen. It's always a nice constructive idea of how you can improve things.
Absolutely. And I've, in my whole experience of being involved in the festival, there's never been a situation where an adjudicator has come in and gone, oh, that's terrible. It's usually, well, you know, if you do this, you could improve it a little better, or it'd be even better if you did this. I mean, I'm a perfect example of coming through that festival. The first time I directed something was in the One Act Play Festival back in 2016. And now I've just directed a full-scale production at Government House. And I wouldn't have done that if I hadn't had the opportunity to go through the festival over the years, and just honing my skills as a result of that tremendous feedback, not just, as I say, from the adjudicators who come here, but the opportunity to go across, see what other societies are doing and what have you as well. I think sometimes we beat ourselves up that perhaps we're not as great as we think we are, but actually when you go across and you see, actually, the Isle of Man is pretty damn good, it's just wonderful to see.
And it is nice, as you say, it's been a bit different the last couple of years. We've had the two together, which have worked very well down at the Gaiety. But I know one or two people might think it's nice to be back at sort of the ancestral home down at the Erin Arts Centre, which I suppose, particularly for smaller, more intimate pieces, lends itself very well to a one-act festival.
It does. Although, you know, I'm certainly always of the opinion it doesn't matter how big or small the venue is. You can always do something with it. And it's, again, tantamount to actually the plays that have won the festival over the last couple of years. It was a two-hander this year. It was a two-hander the year before. So, you know, as long as the production is strong, it doesn't actually need to be in a tiny space or what have you. have you. But yes, I know that lots of people enjoy performing at Erin Arts Centre, and it is nice to be back there. I think as well, for groups that regularly perform, it's a good opportunity to go and do something different. You know, we've had a few groups who've only been with us whilst it's been at the Gaiety, so actually to act in a different space again is always a nice challenge to have.
And you mentioned sort of two-handers there. Quite often, by their very nature, one-act plays tend to have a relatively small cast. Not always, but quite often the case. Is there a limit on numbers, on maximum numbers? Or indeed, you know, is it allowable to do a monologue, a one-person play?
There is no maximum, but there is a minimum. There has to be at least two people in it. Otherwise, it's not a play. It's a monologue. But yes, oh no, I've seen some productions where there are 20-odd people in them. And I would tell you from experience, if you are just starting off, don't do a play with 20-odd people in. Do something that you like and something small. And great things will grow from that.
Great advice. It's always a great festival. Lovely to be back at the Erin Arts Centre, although it's been terrific fun down at the Gaiety as well, of course. And who knows where things will happen in the future. Remind us again then, people listening thinking, oh God, yes, wouldn't mind getting something in. Give us the crucial date again, and indeed the crucial things of where they go to actually get the stuff in.
Absolutely. So the closing date is the 1st of December. If you go to our website, which is www.madf.im, all the entry forms, rules and explanations are there. Or if you go onto our Facebook page, Manx Amateur Drama Federation, all the information is there as well.
So creatives, and I know plenty of you who act or direct also write poetry, get pen to paper, or more like finger to iPad or similar, other devices are available, and get your entries in smartish. Before we go, may I suggest some wrens? Or to be more exact, perhaps, Annie Kuzik could. A Suggestion of Wrens is the title of the fifth Manx Bard's latest collection of poetry, shortly to hit the shelves. I suggested to Annie when she dropped in, it was a wonderful name for her latest collection.
I'm glad you like the title. It's really hard coming up with a title for when you've got, I think I've got about 87 pages of poetry, and thinking, how am I going to tie this all together? What is the theme? And of course, there's lots of different poems about lots of different things, and but one of them, I had the title of A Suggestion of Wrens about, and I mentioned this online to a few people I know in the poetry community away from the island, and somebody said, that's a really good title. So I thought, right, if it's a good enough title for a poem that people are saying that, I can use it. And really, there are wrens in the book, scattered here and there. There are poems about wrens, not lots, but, you know, a presence there. And really, where I live, and it's probably safe for you too, Howard, in the country there, I'm so aware of them, looking at you, hiding everywhere you go. So, yeah, so that's how it's called,
that's
A Suggestion of Wrens. Yes.
And so when it comes to publishing a collection, do you actually deliberately work towards a specific collection, or are you right? I know you're writing all the time, day in, day out, and inspired by all sorts of things on this wonderful island of ours. But do you get to a critical mass of poems and think, there's a collection in there?
Yes, quite quickly. The sad thing was, well, maybe not, the process of making sort of piles on the floor, and then you spread of everything you think might be a possibility. And rather than consciously think, which direction is this going to go in? Is it going to have one sort of overall theme? Am I going to be working in to one sort of end? Or is it going to be a random collection? I didn't know. So I sort of get all these things and then spread them out flat. So the whole floor is covered in pieces of A4 paper. And then the cat will come and sit on them and mess them about. And then some of them I'll turn over, or some I'll think, maybe why aren't I sure about this? So in the end, it goes on for about a month, this process. And I've got a couple of people who I trust very, very much in terms of their poetic judgment. So one being my sister, but they're very honest. And if there's, I said, right, okay, you can give them ticks. Three if you really like it. Two if you quite like it. One if you think it's reasonable. Don't tick it at all if you think there's something seriously wrong. And they've been great. And when the two of them come up with much the same sort of things, and I think, yeah, that's all right. It sort of survived the chop. So sort of ended up with lots of disparate poems, really.
So there's not a collective theme of...
I think there are themes. I only really noticed when I started putting them together and thinking, can this poem be next to this poem? And did they talk to each other, as they say? So there's lots of poems which have, personal reflections and early childhood experiences, but sort of wondering about history. There's poems about poems, dressed up as something else sometimes. And one of the things that did make me wonder, at one point I thought might work if it was a smaller volume, would be there are a lot of poems about sort of absence of different things, sudden absences, like the man who turned into a horse and things like this. What you knew suddenly becomes something different. A lot of absences, and also sometimes a sense of presence from the past, or, you know, slightly uncanny things. So quite a few of those I felt, some based on folklore and some based on things that, you know, people have told me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a certain degree of that there. But overall, lots of different things.
And is the collection, would you say, is it from works written over the last 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, longer, shorter?
Probably most of it the last 3 years. There were some poems that didn't go into Mona Sings, not because there was anything wrong with them at the time. I just thought there were already poems there quite similar, and you can't put in everything you did. So I still got quite a few to start another one, potentially.
And so. Do you actually write, you're saying about the bits of paper when you're organising all that on the floor, do you actually write longhand, or do you write sort of straight into your iPad or whatever?
Oh, no. I don't write anything unless I've gone for a walk. I have a notepad. I don't always sit out in a field or something and write, but I will jot words down and this sort of thing, or a phrase. And I've got lots of these books all over the blooming place, and then they sit there, and every few months I sort of round them up and have a look through and see if there's anything worth doing, and then I do a rough version longhand, and then I put it on the iPad, and then I do another version, and each time it sort of moves to a different stage. Sometimes it doesn't go anywhere, they don't resolve, they just sit there. It goes through quite a few stages, I think.
Now, there is going to be a book launch and concert. Tell us a bit about this.
Oh, yes. Well, my friends are great. If I say, will you come and do some of your poems? Yes, of course. Will you come? Will Kirj and Kuja come and sing? Well, they've got to, because it's Saturday and it's choir night.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of do's on the following few weeks. So, yes. No doubt we will have some cake and tea as well. So we're going to make a bit. It's not just going to be all me reciting my poems. I think that would be awful. Some people to come. So...
So this is Port St Mary Town Hall, Saturday, 22nd of November, 8 p.m. Free to attend?
Absolutely, yes.
And open to
no,
all?
Yeah, no obligation to get a book, obviously, but there will be some there. And afterwards, the following week, the books are going to be in the Bridge Bookshops at some point within that week. So they'll have to be in Ramsey and in Port Erin, of course.
Wonderful. So available, actually, you can get them there on the evening, that's on the 22nd. Week after that, you can get from Bridge Bookshop. Any other places that people can find, or they need to the Bridge?
Not at the moment. Yeah. No, it's a Bridge Bookshop at the moment. Yeah.
Keep it local, as they say. Well, listen, best of luck. Have you got a poem from the collection you could read for us to
finish off? I'll do the one I've been talking about, a suggestion of friends. Here we go. So this is me getting up early one morning, looking out the window. All the yellow leaves have dropped by now. The hawthorn's thinning, fuchsia lingers brown. Outlined sharp on the gate for a blink, a wren glimpsed through glass where early sun strikes sycamore. One wren, much fluttering, might there be more? New light makes new shapings, shadow passing places, ivy pathways, tunnels busy with the dash of small birds. New light presses upon old bark, makes visible the wings that flit through criss-cross canvas. There she is, on the broad branch, the crooked branch, the gate again. Her room is in the ivy, her quiverings in long grass below the hedge. Is it the one wren only, or the suggestion of many, that disconcerts my morning mind, conjures up those tiny phantoms darting out from sleep?
Beautiful. Suggestion of Wrens by Annie Kizik. If you want to hear more like that, get yourself along. Port St Mary Town Hall, Saturday the 22nd of November, 8 p.m. It is free. There is singing, Kej and Kuja, and Ovari Kizik's doing a poem, other poems as well. Poems you'll hear more from the collection from Annie herself. And, if that wasn't enough, tea and cake. You just know it's going to be good. Annie has a lovely way of painting the Manx countryside in words, imbued with a deep appreciation of Manx folklore and culture. Just the thing for Christmas. Though perhaps leave it at home on Boxing Day. Until midday at least. Before we go, a reminder that the most exciting orchestral concert of the Manx cultural year is almost upon us, the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra's Gala Concert. A splendid programme for all music lovers. The main work in part one, the whimsical and light-hearted piano concerto number 2 by Shostakovich with soloist Dominika Mack. The slow movement, really lovely. Also in the first half, Liadov's haunting and impressionistic Enchanted Lake and Rimsky-Korsakov's vibrant and colourful Capriccio Espagnol. The second half features a premiere for the Isle of Man, the first symphony of Sibelius. Not gloomy or austere, forests and lakes against the dark legends, it's full-blooded, romantic outpouring with the excitement and passion and lyricism you might get from Dvorak or Tchaikovsky. Juliet Tranter, the leader, the conductor, Graham Kirkland. Tickets £18, £16, concessions £16 and £14, children just a fiver. Telephone 600 555 or, of course, go to villagaiety.com. Do support it. That's about it for now. Back next week. See you then. In the meantime, be good, stay dry, whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hemo.